Greetings, God's beloved. Thanks for tuning in to the Sermon Podcast from Reformation Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Our reading for this fifth Sunday of Easter comes from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 1 through 18, the Council at Jerusalem. Thanks for listening. May you be blessed by this holy word of God today.
A reading from Acts 15, 1 through 18. Glory to you, O Lord. Then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised in order to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen from its ruins. I will rebuild it, and I will set it up, so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago.'" The word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Good. We've still got it. You know, it never fails. We plan a vacation or a camping trip or something like that, and as soon as we get out of the driveway, we realize we've forgotten something. More than once, we've pulled out of the driveway, get down to the stoplight, and realize, I got to turn around, I got to go back in the house and get something. One more thing. Okay, fine, it's me. I forget something. Because it's tough to keep a count of all the needed items when you go somewhere, especially when you have six people in your household. I know it's not just me, right? Thank you. So I started keeping a list in my phone of all the things I should have brought with us on our trip. Just in case, tools or lights or accessories, especially camping, all those things I think I might like to have along with me on the trip. And then I'll forget something major like water or shoes or a jacket. It's happened. And if I don't have what is needed, I'm forced to either find it or buy it or rely on someone else who might have what I need, which would be fine. But sometimes it might mean that if I screw up, and I forget something, I can't fully participate in an activity or do a task that needs to get done. It might mean I don't get to eat and I get left out, or I have to go and find another way. And our world is like that. It includes these circles of insiders and outsiders, those who have what they need, those who don't have what they need. We know that. This weekend was just another example, the NFL draft. Right, where players are judged for their skills and their physical abilities and their health and their past behavior too. It's a lot to live up to. Most of us can only imagine that kind of pressure. And some of these elite players will get picked for a team and others won't. Students graduating from high school this year, looking to go to college, filling out those applications for universities, have had to submit all their information and grades and activities, And they're judged on their character as well at times. And some will get into the institutions they desire and others will not. So they will find another way. One of the questions being asked in the early church, we heard it in this lesson today, is what is essential to being a follower of Jesus? What is needed for someone to be a part of this new Christian community that was being formed and growing into areas populated with folks from outside the circle of Israel? Who's in and who gets left out? Well, last week we heard about Philip, who preached the good news of Jesus to the Ethiopian, and how the Spirit was leading these founding members of the church at Jerusalem to other places. And even the ones persecuting Christians, like Saul, had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus and became Paul, and they were going out too and sharing the word throughout the region. And people from Syria and Phoenicia and Samaria and Antioch were coming to believe in Jesus. This created some new issues, some controversy in this early church. Why? Well, until this time, the church was made up primarily of people who were Jewish. I know, newsflash. And they saw that Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah, the one in whom the law was fulfilled. And they followed him and they believed in him. But the culture was still Jewish. And they were still ancestors of Abraham, after all, and followed the law given to Moses. They followed the teaching, the Torah. And Paul and Barnabas were preaching down in Asia, and others had gone out to share the gospel, including James, brother of John, and he was killed. And Peter had been baptizing folks from outside the circle of the Jewish family, the Gentiles, and welcoming them. But the question remained, what would they need to do to fully become a part of this new Jesus movement? So as churches do, they set up a council meeting in Jerusalem, and the church leaders argued over who was going to bring the treats and who was going to give the devotions. But then they got it all straightened out, and they sat around and they were required to discern, to pray and come to a decision about what it was that God was inviting them into. Not what will we do, but what will God do at this time? It's an important question. They wanted to hear how the Spirit of God was moving among them. And there was already so much changing. For Gentiles to be included would be a massive change for those who had been Jewish their whole lives. Last week we heard about a eunuch who was baptized and believed, and this week we're talking about circumcision. But before we begin to assume that the early church was obsessed with what is in a person's pants, I will clearly state that God cares more about what's in our hearts than what is below our waist. Okay? We know this. Good. It's about the heart, people. Circumcision, though, was a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham. And this goes back to before Moses, even. Those who followed the Jewish faith and practice were required to follow the law, to live in a way that demonstrated you are a part of God's family. To go beyond the law was to follow other gods, other ways, foreign practices. Grace was still real. Salvation under the law still came by God's grace, too, and mercy. Lutherans didn't invent that. We like to emphasize it. It's important. It's an important distinction, though. Does following the law bring us grace? Do our deeds and practices make us worthy of God's love and mercy? Or is it something else? The saying goes, rules are made to be broken. You all know that one. My kids know the rules of our house, and of course they still struggle to follow them at times. They know hitting is not allowed, but rough play, where's the line, really? They know running in the house is against the rules, but what if they're really in a hurry? Can they break the law and still receive their privileges? This was a question, and the council at Jerusalem is debating these kinds of things. They were wondering and debating, and Peter, who had previously baptized the Gentile Cornelius, who saw the Spirit fall on the people of Caesarea, who already declared to the council at Jerusalem, God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was still a question about the law. How can all these new believers truly be a part of the church? We know they have the Spirit, but they still have to follow the law, don't they? As followers of Jesus, we know the law. We read the Ten Commandments. We know we're not supposed to put our trust in anything but God. We aren't supposed to steal or murder or wish we had what our neighbors have. Do we break these laws? Sure. Sure, in big ways and small. We violate the boundaries God has set for all creation because we trust in governments or we trust in bank accounts or we kill with words and thoughts. We steal time or we hoard what could be used for the benefit of our neighbors. The boundaries of the law open our eyes to what we really need, our need for forgiveness. And we find out that we can't fix things ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. There must be something we need to bring us back into right relationship with God, back into balance with the world around us, with our neighbors and all the creation, to rebuild and restore us to who we were meant to be. It's not money, and it's not perfect behavior, and it's got nothing to do with our bodies. Lutherans, we are saved by God's grace through faith. We got that. Let's do it again. We are saved by God's grace through faith. Faith alone is all we need to bring. Faith alone. And we don't own it. We can't add it up or count it as our own achievement either, because faith comes through the hearing of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus who died and was raised from the dead for us. And the Spirit moves in us and makes us to believe, grants us that faith. And with that, we have everything we need to be a part of the ever-expanding, loving embrace of God, who is our life. Peter declares, God has already made the final decision. God, who knows our hearts, has given us the Holy Spirit. And James, one of the leaders in the early church, the brother of Jesus, testifies as well and finishes his speech with this quote from the prophet Amos. After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. From its ruins, I will rebuild it and set it up so that all other peoples may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called. And the word here for dwelling can be tent, can be booth. It might also be translated as house of David, the family of David, which we can rightfully associate with Jesus himself, the one who fulfills the promise of Scripture, Jesus who was destroyed on the cross, who was rebuilt, raised up by God on the third day, who is fully God and the source of our salvation. In Jesus, we have faith alone. Because we have received this Spirit in our baptism. Maybe it happened as infants, maybe later in our lives. And we hear the Word and we dwell in the Word. We abide in that Word. And we have faith. The world is changing rapidly, and we might worry that it's changing too much or too fast. But God's Spirit is still leading us in our everyday lives as we face change. And as we try to discern what is best, what is right, and what is needed now. And when we have faith, we have everything we need. So we're not left out, not required to achieve, but only to believe. And when that gets hard to do, the Spirit still shows up right here. And we show up for one another. We gather here that we would be strengthened in the Word and renewed in grace through the Lord's Supper, strengthened by the community of believers around us, the ones who show up for us. And we are sent out in the Spirit to share that faith with the world around us too. So we proclaim this good news of Jesus with our mouths, with our words, and with our lives. And the rest is up to God. Amen.